Welcome to Deadly Serial. I am Lee Moffitt. This is a mini mystery episode.
What are you doing with your hands there? I'm sorry.
It's a mini mystery.
I'm not going to say who you look like, but mini.
What do I look like?
I'm not going to say. Anyway, nobody can see it. We're wasting time. We're just terrible radio.
I'm sorry.
Terrible.
I'm ruining it.
No, it was my fault. I'm Laura Dedrick. Welcome.
I'm Lee Moffitt, and we got two stories today.
Two bizarre, mysterious death stories that we're going to get into. Just kind of a, I don't want to say fun, but it's a little fun.
It's a chill episode.
Yeah, it's a little more laid back. We're just going to kind of read you a couple crazy stories and talk about it. And how are you feeling, actually? You just got your second shot.
I did. A lot of life changes here recently. Is part of the reason. Well, I got a new job.
Yes.
I'm not going to say where, because that would be a commercial and I don't do that.
Not for free.
And I finally got fully vaccinated.
Yes. So now our whole family is.
Yeah, we're all ready to go.
We're vaxxed up.
Did you have any kind of symptoms?
So the first shot, your arm hurt a little bit. No big deal. I got the Pfizer. Second time, for the next day, I was just a little tired and we just kind of laid around. We took off work thinking it was going to be a big, you know, effing deal. And it really wasn't. It wasn't a big deal at all. I know our parents did get ill with it the second shot, but it was worth it to me. So,
oh, yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's so worth it. Like, I wouldn't go back. And I actually got sick as fuck for about 8 hours and it was no fun. I had the chills. I felt like shit.
See, I didn't get any of that.
Luckily, I had enough time to, you know, lay in bed and chill.
Yeah.
Work.
It's definitely don't let it stop you from getting.
Oh, God,
the vaccine.
No.
It's not a big deal. You've been through
it. I am what you would call what it's like a man cold. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. 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 Yes.
I'm very sensitive. Anytime that anything is prohibiting me from being my full potential, which I never am. I get pissed.
Yeah, I'm a real baby when I'm sick.
Yeah.
But it wasn't anything. So
no, it's fine.
Woohoo.
I feel
it's
great.
Good. Yes.
I feel great.
It's an excellent feeling.
Go get vaccinated.
Please. No reason not to.
Nope. We've been vaccinating for years. Years and years and years.
It's gonna be okay.
Yeah.
So should we start talking about Mateusz Kowetski?
Ooh, very nice.
Ah, thank you. Cause I have not been practicing. No, I have definitely been practicing that many times.
Well,
the Google pronunciation. Yeah.
Sounds great.
Okay. So yeah, Mateusz Kowetski was a 30-year-old man from a small village called Hutlo in southeastern Poland. So he had actually been working in Hanover, Germany in construction for about 5 years. And he also lived with his father in Hanover and they worked in Germany. They both worked in Germany together.
Right.
Mateusz had a pregnant fiance back in Poland, and all of this started when he went to go see her. So she's getting close, time to make the trek. So yeah, she's about to give birth. So he sets out to drive from Germany to Poland, and he's to see his baby being born. That's a good reason. So he leaves after work one day. So it's like 11:30 p.m. And this is fairly recent. This was March 18th, 2018.
Mm-hmm.
So both, this one is a fairly recent one. So after work that night, he gets in his 1998 BMW and starts the journey from Hanover, Germany to Lipia Góra, Poland. If I did not pronounce that correctly, I apologize. I am not Polish.
Lipia Góra.
Lipia Góra?
Lipia Góra? I don't know.
I don't know. We do. Are we in Poland?
What? Me? Like,
no,
right
I mean,
now,
like,
physically?
Is Deadly Serial in Poland? I thought we were, like,
yes,
in
course.
Poland. So
of
I apologize to any of our Polish listeners for...
I'm sorry for my smart ass answer.
Sorry, Poland. We love you. Thank you for your support.
Of course, the Polish are great.
Yes. So he was due to arrive at his fiance's about 8 or 9 the next morning. And it's about a 402-mile drive, but he never makes it to his destination.
No.
No. Shocker, right? Because we're telling this story.
Why doesn't he make it to his destination?
Well, we'll get into it. So this is very strange. And I'll probably say this about 50 million freaking times. This is very strange. This is 10:30 a.m. the following day, March 19th. Mateusz's father calls him to check on him. and because he should have been there already, he hadn't shown up yet. So Mateusz tells his father that he had been stuck in traffic for over 2 hours, but he hadn't called ahead to say he was stuck in traffic. He didn't tell anyone this until his father called him. Okay.
Okay, but he answered and
he did said, answer.
Okay, so it was him.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't know what exactly the situation was.
No, or where he was. So right. At this point, he was supposed to be around this town that I can't pronounce. I apologize. But it's at that time, he was supposed to be 133 miles from his destination in Lipiagora.
Mm-hmm.
When he talked to his dad, he was like about 130 miles away. That was the last time anyone heard from him that we know of. So the Polish-German border isn't guarded like we see our borders guarded. They basically just have security cameras, just keeping an eye on everything out there, you know?
Hey, man, CCTV, yeah. I believe it's the way to go.
And from Poland and Germany, I mean, it's not like, I don't know, not everywhere needs a wall or something, you know?
Oh, I disagree.
So after his father talked to him at 10:30 a.m., many other attempts to call him were made by his fiance, and he wouldn't answer. It kept rang and rang. So she eventually called Mateusz's sister, who also lived in Hanover, Germany, where he was coming from. And she hadn't heard of him in a while. So by 5 p.m. on the 18th, calls were going through, but he wasn't answering still. And it was then that his mother tried to go to the police and report Mateusz missing. But they basically gave her the go around, you know, told her it was way too early to report him missing and he would, quote, turn up.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
No.
So I know that, like, for children, the police have to start looking for them, you know, right away.
Yeah.
But with an adult, a lot of times they'll make you wait 24 to 48 hours before you can report them missing, which I feel like if you know for sure that person is not the type to just up and bolt, maybe mm-hmm. you could look into it a little sooner.
Right.
I don't know.
I don't know. You also have to, you don't want to judge the situation.
And I understand where you're coming from, like, too. It's like, do we want to waste our resources on somebody who probably just took off because they were fed up with everything? Like, do we really need to go chase that person down who...
Yeah, like, I'm sure it happens all the time, you know, like, people just leave for, like, 2-3 days and
Or just leave forever and just never come back. I mean, there's people who disappear on purpose. Police can't go chasing after everyone, I guess, but the family reports him missing not only in Germany, but also Poland, since they have no way of knowing where he really disappeared, and this causes a shit show with law enforcement.
Mm.
They're very petty with each other.
Mm-hmm.
So the German...
No way.
No, yeah.
The police? No way.
So the German police refused to work the case as long as the Polish police were involved. So mm-hmm. it was all very mature, very professional.
Yeah. You know, when's the FBI swoop in?
Well, this is Poland and Germany. So they're... I don't know what...
What's their version of the
KGB?
FBI?
I don't know. Is it the case? Is that still a thing?
Is it?
Oh, God. I feel terrible. I don't even know.
Yeah, well, I can edit all this bullshit out.
Yeah.
Goddamn. I don't know why I don't have a Google machine nearby.
I have my phone somewhere.
Nope. They went away.
No KGB. No more KGB. Okay. So Mateusz's family finally got the Polish police to track a cell phone, which had actually been on for several days after his disappearance. But the Polish police said they couldn't track it because he was using a German SIM card, and then German police couldn't find the cell phone because he disappeared in Poland. It's a real shit show on this one, big time.
Wow.
It's a bureaucratic nightmare. Later, that's Polish police... It's awful. It's really sad. And later, Polish police would claim that Mateusz's phone was never in Poland, but they could not tell where he was when he received the call from his father, that last phone call.
So they couldn't ping it or anything.
They didn't know. And it was German here and Polish here. We can't do this. And it was just a big perfect shit storm.
That's the way it goes. Like, all around the world. If we all just came together and worked together, it'd be a lot easier on all of us.
Hell of a lot easier. The police suck so bad in this case. It gets to the point where the family is like, fuck off, we got this. And they start doing their own investigation, which is probably what I would do.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like, get out of my way. I'm coming in.
Yeah, but if your dog is missing, you don't look for an hour and call it quits. You get out there and you find that fucking dog.
So his family, they go down his entire route. They check with like gas station clerks. They ask for video surveillance of the areas along his route. They post pictures and they just ask everyone around if they had seen Mateusz. And unfortunately, 6 months pass and nothing turns up, not even his car.
What the fuck?
Which is very strange because from what I understood in those countries, cars are not like they are here where they're just all over the place or easy to get into a chop shop and get tore down. Or it's just a lot harder over there. There's different permits and different things. And it's just, I don't know. It's unlikely that his car would just disappear.
Interesting. So they like, yes, they keep harder track on that stuff.
Yeah. They keep, yeah. And there's less places for you to get, like, dispose of a car there.
Wow. That makes sense. They should do that in here.
Yeah. Right. So yeah, they didn't find his car. His family goes on the news multiple times to complain about the just shoddy police work done in this case, but no new clues come to light. It wasn't until September 12th that Mateusz would turn up.
Hey.
Oh. Hey, we're going to find him. This does not end well. His family lived in Poland, if you remember, and they had a farm along with a barn on the property. And on this day in September, a neighbor had come over to complain about a smell that was coming from the barn.
I hope that nobody finds me like that.
Oh my gosh. I know. This other.
I mean, I won't care.
Find me fast, at least for your own sake, you know? Like.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of know where this is going. The neighbor told Mateusz's mother that the smell had been lingering since about July and it was getting pretty rough.
Oh my God.
Like, what? Why would you wait?
This is unbearable. Okay, finally. There's a dead guy in my barn. Excuse me.
July to September. Anyway, it's getting pretty rough in there. But they all think it's probably just a dead animal in the barn. No biggie.
That's true. A lot of those smells at farms, and it's perfectly normal. It's like a cow in a pasture.
Or even like just a raccoon up there can smell up to high heavens. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah. Just probably just a dead animal, no biggie. So they go up there to investigate. And it's like a normal barn, but they also have half of it walled off. So it like creates like an attic space with a room. It's walled off separate.
Okay.
Strange. At first, they don't find anything. So the neighbor asked to go up to the extra room / attic space. And at first, all he sees is a pile of clothes. But then he quickly realizes that is a very badly decomposed body. So let me set the scene here. Okay. Severed head, torso on the ground, very decomposed body, two nooses hanging from the ceiling, two, and a backpack on the ground nearby.
Okay.
Now all this stuff around the body, as well as a backpack, belonged to Mateusz. Okay, so not only is this all very strange here, something stranger. So yeah, he was headed to Poland. But his fiance lived in northwest Poland and his family's house was in southeast Poland, which means that Mateusz was almost 400 miles away from where he was supposed to be.
What the fuck?
I don't know. The police quickly rule this a suicide and just go on with it.
Sure. Cut. Yeah.
But it's not at all. So 4 days after his body is found in the barn, the family find his detached foot still in a shoe in the barn.
Okay.
So they obviously did not sweep the barn, check the barn, secure the scene. If they just left a severed foot in there.
They took the body, they scooped him up and put him in a pail and then they left the foot.
They didn't look. They didn't even bother to search the barn because, like, he killed himself. There's a noose hanging there. And they're like, wait, you forgot this foot. Excuse me, please take this foot.
And then I assume that the family used that as DNA evidence on their own to little.
In a way. I mean, once they ruled it a suicide, it was hard for the family to get them to change their mind about any of that. It gets kind of weirder though. So yeah, the police didn't secure the scene at all if they just left a foot there. But the teeth. So we got to talk about the teeth. This freaks me out the most.
Okay.
They were knocked out and stuck to his shirt with what appeared to be blood, but it was hard to tell since he was so dirty and decomposed. But we talked about this the other day. Teeth don't just fall out of your head. They're part of your skull.
Sure, yeah. I mean, I'm sure everybody's different. But, you know, teeth usually don't just fall out. Like, in skeletons and stuff, you see all their teeth.
Yeah. I mean, I guess... So, okay, I could probably explain the teeth here. I understand the head and the foot coming off. So you hang yourself, as you die, you decompose, and things kind of come apart.
Yeah.
So your head could come off, I get that. Maybe when your head came off, your teeth hit something.
Could
be. And then they got knocked out, maybe?
From falling?
From falling, and that's why they were knocked out. But they don't just, like, just fall out like that.
Okay, so he's got two nooses.
Two nooses. Head's off.
Could also be from the, you know, decomposing.
Absolutely. Yeah, that could definitely happen.
I think that he actually did hang himself.
Mm.
And his body just kind of fell apart.
I think so too. This is also strange though. In his backpack, they found a Polish water bottle with cigarette butts and an orange juice box. His family claimed that he didn't like orange juice, so it was odd.
Orange juice box.
Yeah, I know. I want an orange juice box. I love
orange juice.
I got orange juice today because of this case.
Where?
At Walmart.
Okay. I tried to get orange juice at McDonald's. Their orange juice machine is down.
Oh my goodness.
They have a fucking machine that makes their orange juice and it's always down.
I don't believe that.
Here's my theory. A bag of the orange juice weighs 10 pounds
and they don't want to go carry it. You know, it comes in a bag. Please let us know if it's a, I seriously doubt it's an orange juice machine.
I doubt it. It could be because it's so fucking good.
No, the best kind of orange juice is that Simply Orange.
Simply Orange is great.
Anyway.
But yeah. Every once in a while, I have a craving for fake orange juice. Like,
that's what I had to concentrate. Get today. Yeah, I had to get that today because that was all they had. But I've been thinking about it since because I've been writing this case. I was like, I'm going to get some orange juice.
Yeah, that's kind of like my, instead of alcohol, it's mm-hmm. OJ.
Or pineapple juice is really good too.
Ooh,
yeah. Oh my gosh, you mix them together.
Holy shit. Stuff.
Oh, it's a whole other level.
Juice is the new alcohol.
Yeah. For me, it is, for sure.
Yeah, stay hydrated, yeah. People.
Drink pure sugar. That's what it is. It's really so good, though. Not sponsored by Tropicana.
Mm.
Or we could be. The police did not analyze any of the evidence, and they returned it all back to the family. They found public transportation tickets from Germany among his belongings, and these tickets were dated after his disappearance.
Oh my God. So they have like
a potential timetable of where he went after he disappeared in another country. He was in Germany.
And they just gave it all.
And they're just like, he killed himself.
He killed himself. They didn't even look through it.
They didn't. I mean, they could have gotten answers as to why he did it. I think that in this one that he did commit suicide. You know, I am sorry. That's terrible. But
that is. But. What was he up to?
I don't know. That's the thing. We'll never find out, like, exactly what this guy was up to. Like, was it another tiny, but very strange detail? The family could easily see the upper room of the barn from the ground. You think they would have seen him hanging for several months. So one of the theories is he wasn't killed there. He was killed off-site, brought there, made it to look like he had hung himself, and that's why they only smelled it for a certain period. I don't, you know, and they didn't see him hanging. There's so many, like, you go down a Reddit hole of this case, and it is a hole. I mean, because there's not a whole lot of information about it, but there's a lot of speculation about it.
Yeah, if it's, like, a drafty barn, it depends on which direction the wind's going.
Yeah.
It depends on how sealed off it really is.
But the neighbor being like, this has been stinking since July.
Yeah.
But yet they never saw him hanging. That's weird. Mm-hmm. You look up, you think you'd.
Yeah. Like, oh.
But yeah, no, that's Mateusz Kowiecki.
That's
he
it.
Is, he's a, I, that's a, there's a lot of the stuff about him's in Polish.
Oh man.
More questions than we got answers.
Okay, please email us at deadlycereal@gmail.com.
Yeah.
If you know any more about
any more information. Love to hear it.
Yeah, just any kind of tidbit. It's really interesting and it doesn't make any sense.
It really doesn't. Those tickets are, they really kill me. Those from Germany after he disappeared, after he stopped answering his phone. What was, where was he going? What was he doing? You know?
Yeah. Did he have like a mistress?
There's a mister? Was he afraid to be a father? What, did he have a substance abuse problem? I don't know. Who knows? Nobody knows.
It's crazy how people can just hide who they really are.
Yeah, yeah. That, now that is scary. That is a very scary thing. Yeah. It's, I thought, like, he was a normal person. I thought he was, you know.
Yeah. I hate people that are nice in public and then whenever they go home, they're mean to their family.
Yeah.
Fuck them.
Yeah. Fuck those people.
That's fake ass motherfuckers.
So I have a second crazy death story to talk about as well.
Yeah, this is mini mystery number two, volume one,
episode 21. So let's talk about Charles C. Morgan. He's a very interesting fella.
Mm-hmm. Now we're in our own territory.
Yes, this is Tucson, Arizona.
Hey,
where we're heading now. So Charles Morgan was a 29-year-old escrow agent living in Tucson, Arizona. I'll be honest, I wasn't sure what an escrow agent did exactly, so I looked it up. An escrow agent safeguards money or assets and enforces escrow agreements in financial transactions, particularly those involving real estate.
I'll handle your money for you.
Exactly. It's exactly what it is. On March 22nd, 1977, Charles went missing after leaving his home. 3 days later, at 2 o'clock in the morning, he returns to his home. His wife, Ruth Morgan, was home and said that Charles had plastic handcuff around one ankle and zip ties around his hands.
Perfectly normal.
Right. It's just a normal Friday. He motioned to Ruth that he wasn't able to speak, so she gave him like a piece of paper and a pen. He writes on the paper, he says, there is a hallucinogenic drug in his throat that could possibly destroy his nervous system. That was like coating his throat. So we're already, this is already batshit craziness already.
Whoa.
Yeah. They kind of gloss over how they get past that. But his wife wanted to call the police or at least a doctor for Charles. But he was dead set against this, saying it would put their family in danger if she called anyone. Like I said, super confusing, but
yeah.
Somehow he recovered from the hallucinogenic drug in his throat.
Okay, that's great.
Yeah, good time. So she helped him recover. And when he was better, he told her for the last 2 to 3 years, he had been working as a secret agent for the Treasury Department.
Okay, so he's an asset dude.
Yes.
And he's basically been on like a secret mission this whole time.
Yeah, so he says. And to me, it kind of seems legit. Like, I could see someone lying about being a secret CIA agent, but the Treasury Department?
Yeah, what is that?
It's not as exciting.
No. No, you don't get a handgun in the Treasury Department, I don't think.
I don't know. It seems like a weird thing to lie about. It's not badass enough.
No.
He then told his wife, Ruth, that the men that abducted him took his Treasury ID card, but he didn't tell her anything else about what was going on. So he didn't have proof that he was in the Treasury. They took it. After this happened, he insisted that he be the only one to drop off and pick up his daughters from school, even telling the school to not let anyone else pick them up. This guy was spooked. He didn't leave the house without a bulletproof vest after this happened.
Wow.
And at this point, Charles tells his father that if he ever goes missing again, that he has a letter that would explain who took him and why, but that letter was never recovered.
Fuck!
Yeah, I know. So about 2 months after being abducted the first time, Charles disappears again. After 9 days of him being gone, his wife receives a very mysterious phone call. So there's a woman on the line, and she doesn't tell Ruth who she is, but she just says, Chuck is all right, meaning Charles. Ecclesiastes 12, 1 through 8, which is a Bible passage.
Okay.
And it says this, men are afraid of a high place and of terror on the road. Remember him before the silver cord is broken and the golden bowl is crushed. Then the dust will return from earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God. So I don't know what that means.
That completely explains everything.
Okay, right.
Let's break it down.
Please help me.
Men are afraid of high places and of terror on the road, right?
Absolutely.
That means that we're all afraid of our own limitations. Yeah.
Okay.
And then the silver cord is broken and the golden bowl is crushed.
Yeah.
That is a metaphor for eating a bowl of cereal while driving. Then the dust will return to earth as it was, is just, it's obvious. Everybody
knows
what
that means. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust.
Dust to dust.
Dust in the wind.
That's all we are.
You're my boy, Blue. You're my boy. Well, I'm glad you broke that down for me, because honestly, I was very confused.
Yeah,
I just can't quite grasp the Bible verses. So
I don't know. Thank you. There are a lot of Bible verses that are beautiful.
Yeah, there are.
And very inspiring.
Lovely language.
Sure.
Yeah.
I believe that. Okay, never mind. I'm going to get way too preachy. Believe what you want to believe. Leave me the fuck out of it.
Exactly. If you're not hurting anyone, do your thing.
I was going to say that we can all disagree and be friends, but that sounded really fucking lame.
And no, we can't. We've tried. It's not going to work.
I'm willing. I'm up for it. Like,
hey, I'm down. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
So far, not good.
We can disagree and still be friends.
That is true. That is 100% true. So, okay, back to Charles here. This is a rough place to come in. 2 days after the phone call on June 18th, 1977, they found Charles Morgan's body 40 miles west of his hometown in Tucson in the desert.
Fuck.
Yeah. So Charles had been shot in the back of the head, execution style. He had been shot by his own gun, a .357 Magnum revolver. He was wearing his bulletproof vest. Like I said, he never left the house with after his first abduction. He had a belt that had a knife kind of concealed into it, which looked really cool. And he had a holster for his gun. They also found sunglasses at the scene that did not belong to Charles. I'm not sure how they know they didn't belong to Charles, but they say they didn't. But that just seems weird. Like, oh, those definitely aren't his sunglasses.
Yeah, but how hard is it to buy a pair of cheap sunglasses at a gas station?
I know. It's very weird. And another thing they found... They searched his car. They found several weapons as well as a lot of ammunition. Super strange. Charles's car, a Mercury Cougar, was altered. It had been made to unlock from the fender, which I guess is like the unlock from the trunk, all cars do now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's that emergency thing in case you get kidnapped in a new car. You just pop the trunk and just, you know, tuck and roll.
Huh. But
they didn't do that back then.
So but he modified it.
He modified it. Back to the teeth. A tooth was found wrapped up in a white handkerchief neatly. It was Charles's tooth. Just one tooth.
One.
Very strange.
Maybe it started as like a ransom thing.
Maybe.
Instead of a toe as a tooth.
Maybe. A torture thing. But then why would it be like wrapped up and cleaned and like what the fuck? And then we're just getting into the questions here. Like this gets really weird.
Okay.
Really weird. So there was also something clipped to his underwear.
What the fuck?
Okay, with like a safety pin. It was a $2 bill with 7 Spanish last names written on it, as well as a map of the border.
Whoa.
Yeah. So the map leads to an area between Tucson and Mexico. The towns on the maps, Robles Junction and Salas City, had a reputation at the time for smuggling. Okay, so... Also, above the Spanish last names was the phrase, Ecclesiastes 12, and there were arrows pointing to the number 1 and 8 within the serial number on the bill. And if you remember, it was Ecclesiastes 12, 1 through 8.
Right. Oh my God.
I know. Also found on Charles were directions on a piece of paper to the site where he was found murdered. The directions were in his handwriting.
What?
Yes. So medical examiners reported that Charles had been dead only about 12 hours before he was found, and no fingerprints were found at the crime scene. None.
Oh my God.
They did find gunpowder residue on Charles' hands, but the residue was on his left hand and he was right-handed, so he wouldn't use his off hand to shoot himself in the back of the head. That doesn't make any sense.
Not unless he was held at gunpoint by himself. I don't know. That is interesting.
Yeah.
I think it's cartel.
Well, there's a couple of different things he got involved in that could be. He got into some really shady shit.
I bet he did.
He really did. After the gunpowder residue was found, the sheriff's department labeled Charles's death a suicide. We got a theme going on here.
Mm-hmm.
No fingerprints were found, not even on the gun. So you wipe it off after you die? He wasn't wearing gloves. So I don't think now Mateusz probably, bless his heart, committed suicide. Charles, no fucking way did Charles commit suicide.
He was murdered.
So let's say he was killed because of his involvement with the Secret Service. So Charles did do some escrow work for the mafia, which is kind of out of nowhere. He was involved in organized crime, which can be dangerous.
Yeah.
Dangerous.
That's an occupational hazard, it sounds. A bit.
And he also testified in a secret state investigation. So he didn't want to testify, but he was forced to. He was a state witness for the Arizona Attorney General's office regarding questions involving illegal activity at a bank. So he also had to be on the record as like, look, some shady happenings had, you know, occurred at this bank. So he testified in that.
Okay.
His daughter, Megan, was quoted as saying, "My father had a lot of information about people here in Tucson that could have been very detrimental. There was a lot of information about politicians, people who are still alive that work for the government. He had that information and they wanted to silence him."
Yikes.
Very plausible, I feel like.
Yeah, that sounds like she's got it.
Yeah, he knew way too much about powerful people and he had to go, just like the government does, you know.
Yeah, just like everybody does.
Yeah. It gets a little weirder.
All right.
So 2 days after Charles Morgan's death, a woman who called herself Green Eyes called the local sheriff's department and said she was the same person who made the mysterious phone call to his wife, Ruth. You know, the Achilleastes, Chuck is fine, that call?
Green Eyes.
Yeah.
Sounds like a Batman villain.
I don't like it. Green Eyes claimed to have met Charles in a motel before he died. The sheriff's department confirmed that Charles stayed at a motel for over a week before his death.
So he is hiding.
Yeah, he's holed up. So the mysterious Green Eyes woman claimed that Charles showed her a briefcase full of money, like thousands of dollars. And she said that Charles claimed the money was to buy him out of a contract the mob put on him. So like they put a hit out on him. So he told her that money was to get him out of his contract.
I don't think that will work.
So that's weird. And then Charles's wife, Ruth, said that two men claiming to be the FBI showed up at her house, tore everything apart, and left. And she said they like just flashed their badges really quick and were like, we're FBI, you know. And she said to this day, she doesn't know who they were, what they were looking for, if they even found what they were looking for. When she pushed the FBI, they finally said they had not heard of Charles Morgan and then it wasn't them. So you can take it with what you will, if it was or wasn't. On February 7th, 1990, 13 years after his death, they did an Unsolved Mysteries about this guy.
Nice.
Yes. 1990. I want to see that episode. I bet it's just
so fucking creepy. Still creeps me out.
Still creepy. So good, though. A ton of calls came in about the case because of the show, and this guy named Don Devereaux, a journalist for Unsolved Mysteries, started putting some of the pieces together.
Mm.
Yeah. Turned out that Charles had been doing a little bit of money laundering. He was also involved in gold and platinum transactions, And this wasn't just a little bit of gold. This would be billions of dollars worth of gold he was dealing with. And he did this between 1973 and his death in 1977, like billions and billions of dollars.
You know, this, the old saying, more money, more problems.
More money, more problems.
That is fucking true.
It is. Especially when you got Vietnamese government officials involved, as well as CIA agents and people from the Department of Defense.
And the Department of Treasury.
Yeah, yeah, because, you know, that's where he came from. And maybe the FBI.
God.
So he's messing with some real dangerous, shady shit.
Like the Men in Black.
Yeah. He also used his position in real estate to launder money. And there's a mob boss thrown in the mix. Why not? He's got a funny name. Don't kill me. His name is Joseph Bananu.
Bananu.
Bananu. And he was a leader of a big mob family that was in the area at that time. So he's in the mix. So Don Devereaux, the Unsolved Mysteries guys, was able to find all the transactions that were done by Charles. All the legal transactions. He kept copies of all of them. And this is weird. So stick with me here a little bit. On May 14th, 1990, a man named Doug Johnson left for work. He worked the night shift at a computer graphics company. He was found dead about an hour later in his car in the work parking lot. He had been shot once behind his left ear, and he was still in the driver's seat. Despite the fact that evidence showed that the gun that was used to kill Doug Johnson was at least a foot away from his head when he was shot, the police still ruled it a suicide, just like Charles Morgan. That's a ways.
I retract my statement earlier. You can't do that.
I mean, I guess you could, but it's not very accurate.
No. You would fuck it up so bad. It would be like 12 attempts and you wouldn't even hit yourself.
Ugh.
If you had enough bullets.
It's just a nightmare. This time, no gunpowder residue or a gun was found at the scene, but one bullet was found. Of course, Doug's wife insisted he would never kill himself. This is where it gets really bizarre. Don Devereaux, the Unsolved Mysteries journalist, lived across the street from where Doug Johnson worked. Doug and Don had very similar cars. Doug heard through his journalist grapevine that what happened to Doug Johnson was basically a mistake and that Don was the one who was meant to be killed that night. Yeah. So they're trying to get the Unsolved Mysteries journalist guy to shut him up.
Oh my God.
It gets crazier.
We got to be careful telling this story.
Dude. I know. I'm just telling the story.
It's just a story. It's not just real. Don't take it serious.
It's just fun. It's just a mini mystery.
Mini mystery number two, volume one,
episode 21. So a man named Dave Casseraro, who was a writer, reached out to Don Devereaux asking for more information on Charles's gold transactions. But before Don could send the transactions over to Dan, he was found dead in his hotel room. He was in a bathtub and his wrists were cut about a dozen times, they said. So that is fucking awful.
Whoa.
But I mean, it was obviously ruled a suicide, but his brother, who was also a doctor, said that he would have never killed himself in that way. He said that Dan had issues with blood and just would have never killed himself in that way. So
that's so weird to be murdered that way, you know, like someone's like taking your arms and slitting your wrists.
I would pray that they would knock you out, slit your wrists, and then just leave you to die in the tub.
I guess they'd have to. Otherwise,
I mean, the defensive wound. It just nightmare.
Wow.
So many unanswered questions. So for me, the one that sticks out the most, like I said, is the tooth. In both cases, the teeth. It's very strange.
Yeah.
I just thought that was interesting that I found two random cases and the teeth are the most interesting, like,
it always goes common back thread.
Yeah. It's like, what?
Take care of your teeth, people.
Yeah. But, you know, with Charles Morgan, it could have been so many people that killed him. Like I said, I don't believe that Charles was a suicide, but I haven't ruled it out in Mateusz's case. Both are very strange and to this day unsolved.
Shit.
No happy resolution.
Nope. That's why we call them mini mysteries.
Mysteries.
It was a good time.
It was fun. I had a good time.
I hope you did too. If you're still listening, God bless you.
Yeah.
God
bless you. We love you guys. Thank you so much for your support.
So much. Do we have any announcements?
I don't believe so.
Here's something I kind of want to pitch.
Okay.
On June 1st,
yes,
the Pentagon is going to quotation release some information that is supposed to be like really, really alien-like.
Yes.
For the first time since they did it last time. It's supposed to be a big deal.
Yeah, a big deal. Yeah.
And depending on, you know, what we learn, maybe we should do a live episode or something like that.
I would love to do that. I'm excited. I'm ready at June 1st. And hell yeah. I mean, they released a lot of information last time that I think a lot of people just kind of glossed over.
No. Yeah. Like the naval footage, the Air Force footage, the mm-hmm. real actual footage that they've sent us is un-freaking believable. It's pretty obvious that there is something else out there.
Yeah.
And we've seen them all the time.
This whole time. Nobody's surprised. And I feel like, I don't know if they just can't hide it anymore or if there's something bigger coming that they just have to finally tell us about it.
I feel the second one.
I think it might be the latter.
Our world is about to turn upside down. Maybe. Yeah. Maybe not.
Maybe things will go on and we'll just know that there's aliens. But no, I think things are shifting in a way. And I don't know. I guess we'll find out. But yeah, I'd love to do a live episode depending on what they release. I mean, if it's bullshit, nobody wants to talk about it. But I think it's going to be really exciting. Yeah, we could talk about that. I'm super excited about it. I think that's a great idea. So if anybody's down with that, email us or, you know, Deadly Cereal on Facebook. We have a TikTok now, Deadly Cereal. We have one TikTok up.
We on a TikTok.
Yeah, we're working on it. And so join us on there. And yeah, I guess we'll see you in 2 weeks for a new episode.
Yeah. I think we're going to do a cult episode.
Yes, we do like the cults.
And it's a recent one. Hint, hint, hint.
Yes, hint, hint.
How many recent cults have there been? Not very many.
Not very many.
Actually, there's cults all over the place. They're still going on right now. Just like, never mind.
We're going to get we're gonna get killed double for this episode.
Stay safe out there, people.
Yeah, if we go missing, please see Mini Mysteries Episode 1, Part... What?
No, okay. Mini Mysteries Episode 21, Part 1 and 2, Volume 1.
Yes. Please see that, and it will explain why we are missing or have been killed.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And we'll do an episode on aliens, too, because there's so much to talk about.
Oh, my gosh. It's a big undertaking. I was going to say, maybe they'll narrow it down for us and tell us exactly what they really look like or what they act like or what they're coming for. You know, like maybe they'll tell us everything. It'd be great.
Maybe they will. Like, these are the reptilians. They've been with us for 75,000 years.
Yeah.
And their agenda is to, you know, this and that. And who knows what the fuck. Grays. I know grays exist. I haven't seen one. I don't know if they exist, but.
Why would it be so universal that we're all seeing the same across the world are seeing the same something to it, you know?
Yeah.
And now they're reinforcing what we've already known this whole time that it's real. So it's surreal that they're actually admitting it.
Yep. We're not alone, people.
No, we've never been alone.
I hate to break it to you.
Yeah. Sorry.
We're not the only people in the universe.
Thank God.
I know.
You know, I would be so sad if it was just us on this rotting rock destroying everything.
No,
that's so depressing.
If we are the only life in the entire universe,
that's please, so sad and let scary. There be something better than us out there. Please.
Oh,
smarter,
yeah.
Better, kinder. Just let there be something better. That's what
you.
I hope to learn.
Yeah. Or, you know, it could be Independence Day.
It could be, you know, and then whatever. Beam
then,
me up.
Then we can all work together.
Yeah, we got to get Quaid unbanned from the United States so he can come in and, you know, help
sacrifice
us.
Sacrifice himself for the good of mankind.
You know, like he does.
Hello, boys. I'm back.
Oh, this has been a fun episode.
Abused
him.
Sexually. We love you guys. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to this goofy episode. We appreciate you and we'll catch you later.
Stay safe out there.
Bye, guys.